Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I am your host, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you doing, Adam?
Hey, Barry. Thank you for that kind, warm welcome to me and all of Weirdsville. I am, it's bright and sunny outside, and it's getting warmer, and the days are getting longer, and you can just smell spring, and I am miserable.
Oh, man.
What's up? I've got the allergies. Okay. I got the bad allergies, you know, and it's just, you know, it's the first week that it's been really, really bad. And, you know, I would get the sneezes and I get the scratchy eyes and I get all of that mess. And I'm a right mess for a couple of weeks. But then it usually clears up once it gets a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
And it's not so much pollen in the air. So, you know, I'll take it. You know, I like flowering plants that give us food and all that stuff. Oxygen, I guess that's needed as well. So, you know.
We need that. Yeah, we do need that.
Well, so I'll suffer through.
Sure. That. And did you have a good Easter weekend? Did you do anything fun or interesting?
I didn't do anything. I'm trying to remember what I did.
Yeah.
I just did some work. I just did some work around the house and some painting and or drawing or whatever. Some worked on my art and worked on, you know, the behind the scenes, the podcast stuff. And, you know, set up some really cool interviews for down the line that you guys are going to be interested in. So keep your ears open for news of those events.
There's a couple.
But yeah.
There's a couple that are coming that are freaking awesome. Yeah, not that sure. They all are awesome, but we're super excited about them. So,
how about yourself, man? You've been doing all right?
Doing good. Busy as hell. You know, doing the brewery thing. Running a business, my day job, had a good Easter, spent time with my folks and we had dinner over there and got to spend some time with everybody. And, you know, I'm on this tobacco pipe smoking kick and,
are you?
Oh, big time, dude. I got way into it. So, I enjoy, the pipe tobacco and, I'm pretty excited because I won a couple of eBay auctions that I never win. I never win these auctions, and there's a couple of pipes that I had my eye set on, and I won two of these auctions just like back to back. So I'm pretty stoked about it. So it's a good deal. So I'm super pumped. Do what?
Do you get one of those big Sherlock types?
I want one. That's on my list, man. That's on my list.
Like, I always wanted one of those. Yeah. Even, you know, just to have, as an expectation.
Yes. Wow. I like the big chunky, you know, pipes that have character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of character, Barry, this is, you know, I'm always looking for a good segue.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of character, we have got one of those this week. We've got, as our guest, my buddy Jimmy, who I've known for a number of years he's a good friend of Midas, who has been our guest a couple of times.
Yes.
And Jimmy is just an amazing storyteller, and he's got 1,000,000,000 stories. And so we invited him on. He said he didn't have anything weird, or at least not in the weird area that Weirdsville has that we also broadcast in. Some of his exploits are just a little, maybe a little blue, maybe a little keep it to, what's your weird story after dark or something like that.
Yeah.
But But he came and he gave us some good stories, and they're just great stories, and they are a little weird, but they're definitely not our normal fare.
Yeah.
But I think but you'll fun. Agree.
Yeah.
They're fun and they're great stories and they're definitely outside of the normal. So we you know, we give him that. He's a, you know, a suburb of Weirdsville for sure. But they're great true stories and excellently told. So I guess without further ado, Jimmy, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, thanks for having me. Great to see you again, Adam. Yeah, missed you, buddy. So the story that I would like to start off with, at least, is the one that most people enjoy hearing. It's the time when I was I worked at a restaurant. I was working in Goldsboro, but I lived in Greenville. And it was a very strategic move on my part, living in Greenville so I can go to school at East Carolina. Because I could skip school, I couldn't skip work. So I was like, I got to live close to school so I don't cut too many classes, even though I completely cut too many classes.
Yeah, of course. It's what you do.
Yeah, it is what you do. So I worked in Goldsboro, so I would go to school all day, drive to Goldsboro mid-afternoon, work at a restaurant, get out of work, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, and then drive home. So the road between Goldsboro and Greenville was this old, old country highway, you know, 2 lanes, you know, 1 lane going north, 1 lane coming south. And it was just like through a bunch of backwoods. So it was one summer night, you know, I'm driving home at 2 in the morning and I am just hauling ass. It's like 75 miles an hour down this road, even though you're only supposed to do 55. The windows are down. I'm blaring music. I'm smelling all the great smells of the summer. I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and it's still like 85 degrees outside. I was like, man, I just love life. I was like, this is what it's meant to be. And I had just had a phenomenal night. Like, I made a ton of tips. So I'm bragging. I'm telling everyone, I'm like, man, when I get out of work here, I'm blowing this money at the bar in Greenville. We're playing flip cup. We're going to play beer pong. I'm going to get shit faced. I was like, you don't want to see me tomorrow because I'm just going to be hammered. So, like, I talked it up big, got out of work, was loving life all the way home. So I'm doing about 75, and I come around this one corner out of the woods, and I see a bunch of lights reflected back at me. I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck is that? Oh, they're deer eyes reflecting my headlights back at me. I better slow it down just in case a deer jumps out in front of me. As I'm having that thought, I'm looking to the right where all the deer eyes are, and from the left jumps a deer. Whatever reason, this motherfucker tried to cross the road into my car, and it's just like the Matrix. So he jumps across, I crash right into its neck, and right there bullet time happens. Everything slows down, I'm fucking screaming, I see everything in still frames happening. So I crash into his neck, my driver's side headlight goes out, this deer's body crumples up onto the side of my car, his ass comes up into my window and explodes. Oh. Just like a party pop on the 4th of July, like you pull a little string, like the streamers and confetti come out. But it wasn't streamers and confetti, it was shit and blood and fur. And it just hit me in the face. And I'm not a science guy, so I don't know how physics works, but it fucking hurt. I think shit hit me at the 75 miles an hour I was driving because it felt like somebody took a double barrel shotgun and crammed it full of Cocoa Puffs and shot me in the face, because that is what hit me. Like, it fucking swallowed me. Like, he had the Z-stripe shit of blood across my chest and face, and then all of the fur and the shit stuck to it. Like, it was just awful. But that's not the worst part.
Oh, God.
He hit me in such a way on the car that it bent my bumper against the wheel or against the driver's side tire. Uh-huh. So my car was undrivable. My car, my airbag didn't go off. Oh. All I lost was my headlight. I just couldn't drive my car. And I got shit and fur and blood all stuck to me. So I'm just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So I stumble out of my car. I survey the wreckage. I was like, I can't get anywhere. So I bust out my flip phone, because this is back when, you know, flip phones were a thing. So I bust out my flip phone. I'm like, oh, I'm going to call the motherfucking cops. I got to call that 911. So I dial 911, and the only rational thought I could conjure up at that point, the lady comes on. It's like, hey, 911, what's your emergency? I'm like, it's shit in my mouth. She's like, what? I was like, shit, it's in my mouth. For emergencies. I was like, oh, you know what? You know what? I got in a car wreck as well. She's like, nope, that's not what you started with. I was like, no, I I got shit in my mouth. I need an I need a tow truck, and I need something with carbonation in it to wash the shit out of my mouth. Immediately, this woman was skeptical, which I didn't think 911 operators could be skeptical.
Yeah.
So I started losing her. I could tell I was losing her in the conversation. So I was like, I'm going to turn on the waterworks. She can't turn down a victim crying on the phone. I was like, I crashed and I'm okay. I don't need an ambulance, but I need a police officer and a tow truck. And I got shit in my mouth. And, you know, I sold it super hard. I was like, yeah. So she's like, hey, we're going to get an officer. We're going to come out there. We're going to help you. We're getting a tow truck. You know, we get you taken care of. I explained to her where I was between the two cities. And she's like, yeah, we'll get somebody out there. So I'm like, all right. So I hung up the phone, still spitting out shit and fur. I was like, I'm not going to swallow. I'm just going to keep spitting it out. I don't want to swallow until I get something to gargle with, something with in it. But I made the mistake of crying on the phone. So instinctively, you go to wipe the tears, and I just smear blood and shit into my eyes. I was like, oh, God, this is how people get pink eye. Like, I'm going to roll into my restaurant, you know, tomorrow or next week. I'm like, yeah, I got pink eye because of deer shit in my face. I was like, I don't want anyone to know this story. I was like, I don't want anyone to figure this out. So I'm trying to wipe the shit out. Like, my eyes are stinging. A whole hour goes by. Nobody shows up. I was like, oh, my God, I better call 911 again. I don't think they took me seriously. So as I'm getting ready to dial, I see, like, lights come up, and then the police headlights come on, or the siren come on, or the lights without the siren come on. Guy pulls up, pulls over behind my car, gets out, and he walks up. My eyes are all shit swollen shut. They're all, like, red and knobby. And I've been spitting for an hour. I had refused to swallow. So, like, my teeth are all, like, my lips are all, my teeth are just spitting sand. I'm just like, hey, do you have that soda? And the dude was like, hey, so what happened here? I was like, obviously, I'm covered in shit and blood. A deer shit in my face and wrecked my car. And the officer's like, oh, Johnny, this kid really does have shit in his mouth. You better bring him a drink.
That's great. Walkie.
So, like, another 45 minutes goes by, and I tell this dude this whole story. I'm like, great. Now two people know of my shame. I'm not going to tell anyone else. So this other cop shows up, and he comes out. He's like, hey, Johnny, this is the kid that got shit in his mouth. Hey, kid, tell this guy how you got shit in his mouth. So I had to tell this guy my whole shameful story again. I'm like, hey, do you got something to drink? And Johnny's like, yeah, hold on just a moment. So he goes back to his squad car, and he comes back with a Barks root beer. I was like, oh, I hope Barks root beer doesn't listen to this podcast. But he brings a Barks root beer out, and he's like, here you go. And I grab it, and, like, the clouds part, you know, the sun shines on it, and I hear a heavenly chord. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I needed. And I grab it, and it's fucking hot, like super hot, like, did you just microwave this shit before you showed up? And John was like, it's been in the back of my car for like a week. I was like, God dang, it's 85 degrees at 2:00 in the morning. I was like, this has just been boiling in the backseat of your car. So I unscrew the top, and the root beer is just bubbling over. I'm just like, all right. So I'm like chugging like this hot ass molten root beer, trying to gargle. I'm just like, oh, it's so bad. Gargling this root beer to clear it out. To this day, I hate root beer. I never really liked root beer, but now I can't even stand the smell of it. As soon as I smell it, wherever I'm at, I'm just like, oh, nope, shit. It just tastes like shit to me.
Root beer and literally. Shit. Yeah, that's hilarious.
So, like, I have to tell this guy, you know, what's going on. So I tell the whole story to this guy. Then finally, the tow truck driver comes, and, like, the dawn is breaking. Like, I've been there from 2 in the morning to, like, 5:30 in the morning. Now the sun's coming up. The tow truck driver comes up. He's like, hey, son, I heard you need a tow. And I showed him, and he's like, dear God, what happened to you? Because I'm still, like, tarred and feathered and shit and fur. And the cop, John, is still there. The first cop had already long gone. John's like, hey, yeah, tell this guy about how you ate a bunch of shit. I was like, oh, all right. Well, I guess everyone's going to know about the time the deer shit my face. So I tell him. He loads up my car. We drive back to Greenville, which is about another 25 minutes away from where we were. We were right at about the Snow Hill area. No one's going to know where that is, but, you know, Biebs knows because he's been there. We finally get back. This dude's wife, the tow truck driver's wife, is waiting at the shop because I guess he had called ahead. He's like, yeah, I'm picking up some kid. I got shit in his mouth. You got to hear about this kid who got shit in his mouth. Dang, how many people are going to hear about this? Tell this guy's wife about how a deer shit in my mouth at 75 miles an hour, how it felt like a shotgun spray. I do all the paperwork for the car. He drives me back to my house. I skip class all that day. I shower. I go to bed. And I wake up at 4 that afternoon to get back to work. So I had already showered. So I just get up. I put on my clothes. And I drive back to work in my rental car. Nobody at the rental place said shit to me. None of my roommates. I lived with 3 dudes. No one said anything to me. I saw all 3 of them. No one said anything to me at the rental place. I get back to work. And I walk in all confident with my shit-stung, swollen eyes and my red face from the night before. And I walk in. And my manager was like, whoa, you really did have a wild night last night. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, couldn't help but notice you talked about how you're going to drink it up and get really wasted last night. I can tell you got wasted. Your face is all red. Your eyes are swollen shut. Are you hungover? I was like, no, I'm not hungover. He's like, but you hooked up with someone, right? I was like, fuck no, I didn't hook up with someone. He's like, well, I couldn't help but notice you have a ton of hickeys all over your face. And we can't let you wait tables with all the hickeys on your face. I was like, hickeys on my face. If you only knew what the fuck happened to me last night, you would not. So I go to the restroom, I look, and I had little green and yellow purple bruises all over
my God.
Face. I had shit hickeys.
Oh.
I had shit after the night. So, like, the worst part of it was I couldn't even wait tables or work on the floor for an entire week. So I had to work in the kitchen, you know, as like, I average, you know, pretty good money, like $14 to $16 on the floor. But back then, like, minimum wage was like $5. So I was like making $7.50 an hour working in the kitchen for a whole week until my shit hickeys went away. Like, it was like night that strung on. And my manager, when I explained to him the situation that a deer shit my face, he's like, that can't happen. Deers can't shit my face. I was like, no, I crashed into a deer and it shit in my face. He's like, well, you wouldn't get bruises from it. Motherfucker, I got bruises from it. It was just awesome. So, most people enjoy hearing that story. I figured I'd share it with you guys today.
Dude,
yeah. Starting off with a good, that's a great story. You getting shit faced.
And getting shit hickeys from it, man, is just.
Dude,
fuck,
that,
man.
Man,
that's
that
great.
Is like. God, dude. Like, I've hit deer before. I've hit 3. I hit 2 at one time. Totaled my car, but, you know, me and my buddy that was with me, Jeff, we were fine. And we were even able to drive back into town. But, like, I've heard stories about people hitting deer and the deer spinning around. And if they had their windows coming in and that spraying all over them. So it's not uncommon, but I've never heard of it so violently.
Yeah.
And with gusto.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awful. I crashed right into his neck. His body crumpled up onto the car and his ass came in the window like one of those places at like Sonic where they put a little tray in your window, but it was a deer ass instead of a tray and it served me a hot lunch of shit and blood. Like, it was just awful.
Oh my God.
That's too good, dude. That's hilarious.
Because I hit a deer after that. About a year later, I hit a deer after that in Goldsboro. I'm driving 35 miles an hour. There's a road in Goldsboro called the Royal Avenue or Royal Avenue. It was right next to some train tracks with some trees on the other side of it. Driving 35 miles an hour down that road, and a deer runs out right in front of my car again, and I hit it. No damage, didn't break my car, didn't knock out a light, but the deer went flipping off into the side of the road. I was like, oh, shit. And I was with one of my buddies from Outback at that time. I was like, oh, my God, last time this happened, a deer shit in my face. And the dude was like, yeah, I know, everyone knows. I was like, well, same, right? And I guess so much so because I'm telling you guys.
That is great.
So I run out of the car, which was a huge mistake. I go out and I look at this deer laying on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh, wow. I don't realize how big deer are until you get up close to them, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it. I was like, I've never seen something so close that I've killed. Like, I actually felt kind of bad. So I'm looking at it. And I go to touch the deer. I was like, I wonder what a deer feels like. I've never seen a deer up close. So I go to touch the deer. I touch it right below its ear, like on its neck. And the motherfucker stands up. It's not dead. It was stunned.
Wow.
It stands up. I was like, holy shit, these things are tall. Wow. Like, it's like the same height as me.
Yeah.
And because I don't know anything about wildlife, I'm not an outdoors man, as you can probably tell. I didn't realize it was moving in to bite me. So, like, it leans in. I was like, oh, shit, is this – or do we hug? Is this where we hug and make up? No, this shit bit me in the shoulder. And I was like, oh, God. So I went to run back to my car. And it's like when you're kids, do you ever play tag when you're kids and you, like, get stuck behind a car or a trash can? And every time you run, like, to the front, they run to the back. Yeah. Or you run to the back, they run to the front. Yeah. Make sure you can't get to where you're going. This fucking deer did that. I was like, run away with your life. Like, you just won the game. But no, he's, like, fighting me. And then the motherfucker in the car, my buddy, shuts the driver's side door. I'm like, now how do I get in? So, like, I go to run around, and the deer sees me. So then I crunch down, and I run all low to the ground so he can't see me because deer are stupid. Yeah. And I got in the back seat, and I was like, oh, man. It was, like, the worst deer experience outside of getting shit in the face.
So you've had one shit in your face, and you had one bite you after you hit it.
I hit it.
That is hilarious, yeah. Dude. Oh my God. That's too good, man.
Yeah. So, wow. You know those stories that start off with, I know this guy? Well, Unfortunately, I'm that guy because I've had weird things happen to me throughout my life.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
So the last story I'd like to tell you is probably a little background on my dad, since, you know, he's the grizzled Air Force guy. So when I was 16, yeah, no, 15, sorry, I was 15, I was in charge of mowing the yard, you know, front and back, this whole thing. You know, I lived somewhat in the suburbs, or, you know, the outskirts of Goldsboro. So we only had a half an acre, which really isn't that much land, you know, especially for folks that are like, oh, I have an acre, 6 acres, 200 acres. But I had to push mow that. So I hated push mowing the yard. So sometimes I let it grow a little too long, where you go to push mow it and your lawnmower dies out or stalls. So you're lifting up on the back to get the blades up, and then you like just kind of like crunching it. You're like, you're giving it a haircut all the way through. Yeah. You do that one through that one full pass, and you can go up and down and just mow everything afterwards. So I'm working that. I'm like, oh, the grass is too long. I got to go get it done, because the neighbors were complaining. And the neighbor comes over, is like, what the fuck's wrong with your son? Why isn't he mowing your yard? I don't know. He's a piece of shit. You know, like, my dad was very much to the point. Neighbor's like, I can't let my daughter play out front because she might get lost in your front yard. Like, that's how bad the grass was. So I go out and I get the lawnmower. I pump it up and I get ready to go. And I'm just, you know, edge by edge, just zzz, 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 and then it stalls. I'm like, all right. So I pull it back out, shake it, clean it, get it back up and run, and zzz, zzz, oh, it stalls again. Well, this last time that it stalled, I'm shaking it, trying to kick it, get the grass out. The grass doesn't come out. So I pull it from the yard up onto the carport. And I'm shaking it, kicking it. Can't get this grass clog unclogged. So I reach under, even though all of the pictures say, hey, don't reach under this fucking lawnmower because it's going to fuck you up. I reach under. I'm like, oh, there's the grass. And I pull it out. And the lawnmower had a quarter of a turn left. And it hit my hand and just pulled all of the skin off. Oh. Like, you guys, have you ever wore, like, knee-high socks before? Yeah. Like, how awesome knee-high socks are?
Yeah.
But then sometimes during the day after wearing knee-high socks, you're like, hey, I'm getting a little overheated. I'm just going to scrunch those knee-high socks all the way down to my ankle, so you have this big bundle of sock around your ankle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my fingers looked like. All of the skin from my palm was scrunched around where my nail bed is, all the way up on these two fingers. So I have like these gnarly scars across my middle finger and my index finger and on my thumb on my left hand because it just hit and pushed all the skin down. Like, I've never seen my own bones before. I was like, oh shit, I can see my own bones.
Whoa. So I just. For the listeners at home, I just want to describe the fact that Barry and I both are just hands on our faces in just horror.
That makes me weak in the knees, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. But my body was instantly in shock. Like, I didn't feel anything. Like, you know, I'm 15 years old, so I've never been drunk before. I don't know what being drunk feels like. But now as an adult, looking back, I immediately had that buzzed feeling, like where I'm disconnected from my body. I'm just like, woo, I'm drunk, like having a great time. I felt that from a lawnmower. Yeah. I never drank any beer, and I felt that feeling.
Yeah.
So I walked up to the door, and I opened up the side door. And I'm like, Dad, I got my hand caught in the lawnmower. So Dad comes out to the side, and he sees my hand just bleeding everywhere. And it's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, every time my heart beat, like, it squirted blood. Like, it was just like squirt, and it was like a fucking squirt gun. So I go to show my dad, and I put my hand up in his face. He's like, get that shit out of my face. And he swats my hand away like it's not fucking cut open. He's like, stand right there. Don't come inside. So he goes back into the house, and he's gone for like what feels like forever. And he comes back out, and he has shoes on, and he has a small square of paper towel. He's like, put that shit on your wound and don't get blood in my car. And I was like, what? He's like, I'm taking you to the hospital. My dad's not dressed to go to the hospital. He's wearing like a ratty old shirt because he's lounging around at home. And he wears like these tight spandex bicycle shorts, like what a bike messenger would wear in New York. Oh, my dad, nice. Being out of the military for 10 years, doesn't have a biker's body anymore. So like, he's smuggling grapes as he drives me to the like, it's awful. Or baked potatoes. Hey, Dad, if you're listening, sweet potatoes. He's smuggling a pair of potatoes. Like, it was awful. Like, there was some business going on, and there was nothing to the imagination.
That's great.
So I didn't ask for this paper towel, but he crams the paper towel into the wound, and he's just like, all right, son, get in the car and don't bleed on my car, anywhere in my car. So I get in the car, and I'm holding my shirt open like a canopy, and I just have my hand just draining into it, just bleeding. I'm just like, all right, got to keep it higher than my heart, keep my shirt up, like my shirt's filling up with blood. We get to the hospital. He pulls up into the hospital, like, emergency room, like the little cul-de-sac that you get. We're underneath, like, the little overhang. So he gets out, and he opens up my door like a chauffeur. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck, yeah, dad's taking care of me. Like, this, he's really coming through. So he opens up the door, and I go to get out, and he grabs me on my off shoulder, the one that's closest to the interior of the car, and pulls me. So, like, I move in one fluid motion, and all the blood in my shirt spills onto the sidewalk at the hospital so it doesn't get in his car. So the people in the emergency room have those big glass windows where they can see people pull up. They just see a car open up and blood just fly everywhere all over the sidewalk. So this little guy, like this tiny little guy, and I say tiny because as a 15-year-old, I was already 240 pounds, you know, a big football player. This tiny little guy comes running out with a wheelchair. And so I can sit on it because he just saw all this blood come off of me. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know where I've been injured. And my dad looks at him. He's like, I didn't raise any wussies. My son doesn't need a wheelchair as I'm getting ready to sit in this thing. Like my butt, like 6 inches from the seat. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit down because I'm feeling all like lightheaded and woozy. And like, my ears and the back of my neck are like super hot. Like, I'm just like feeling really, really hot and woozy. Dad's like, I didn't raise any wussies. He can walk. So the dude with the wheelchair looks at me, and I look at him, and I give him the, And my dad's like, he can walk, like in a very stern voice, because my dad's a huge man, very intimidating. So this guy pulls the wheelchair back, and he goes back to the hospital and just leaves me. So I'm walking in with my dad. My dad walks up to the front where they, like, the admittance area. And the lady's like, what seems to be the emergency? He's like, my son got his hand caught in the lawnmower because he's an idiot or a dumbass. I don't remember the exact verbiage because I'm really, like, in and out at this point. I think he said dumbass. And the lady's like, oh, my God. How bad is it? And I'm just standing, like, my dad's in the window, and it's only big enough for one person to be in the window. So my dad reaches over and grabs the collar of my shirt and just yanks me into the window so I can see the lady behind the desk. She's like 900 years old, like this little old lady. My dad's like, show her your hand. So I lift my hand and there's just like blood running all the way down. And the paper towel is so soaked with blood, you can't tell if it's skin or paper towel. But it looks awful. So I show her my hand. And she's like, oh, my God. And she hits like this big silver button behind the desk. And it's like prison style. And this big steel door opens up to our left. She's like, you can be seen right now. And I look into the waiting room of the emergency room. And there is a ton of people in the emergency room. But we got first class VIP access right to the doctor.
Oh, my God.
I showed this lady my hand. So we get in there, and this little bitch, like this tiny, like everyone's tiny. I don't know if I'm just a huge man or what, but like this little girl, like she couldn't be much out of pre-med. She's like, all right, I got to take your blood pressure and weigh you. My dad's like, we don't have time for that. It's like, but we have to ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does it hurt? My dad's like, it's a 10. I was like, well, it is a 10, but how does he know? He's like, we can weigh him after this. And the lady's like, okay. So like, she takes me like in the way back, and a doctor is already waiting in this room when I get back there. And I come in and sit down, and the doctor's like, all right, well, let's see what we're working with. So I show him my hand. He's like, oh, there seems to be some obstruction in the way of the wound. So he goes to take the paper towel off, and only the one little corner that's dry comes off. Everything else stays on my hand. So one little piece comes off. He's like, oh, that's not good, which is not what you hear your doctor say. Oh, that's not good. Out of the list of folks that can say that, your doctor, your mechanic, your barber, those are the folks that you don't want to hear say those words. So he's like, that's not good. Nurse, get me the medical scrubber. So this lady brings in like this hermetically sealed pack, and she takes the top off and reaches into this silver bag and pulls out what looks like a fucking green Brillo pad, like what you use on your dishes. Yeah. It doesn't look anything different from what you use in the kitchen, except for that it's disinfected, I guess, or hermetically sealed, like it's clean. No human hands have ever touched it. And the guy's like, I'm going to have to clean the wound before we can numb it for you. So just, you're going to have to grit and bear it. Do you want a muscle relaxer? Like he's like bargaining with me at this point. Like the doctor's having these conversations, trying to, well, what do you want? Do you want to like bite on a stick? Do you want a muscle relaxer? We have Xanax. Like, what do you want? But dad's like, he needs none of that. I was like, oh, well, thanks, Dad. Yes, I can't answer for myself. So the doctor just gets in there and he starts working my fingers to scrub all of this paper towel out, and it's awful. And my dad's like, hold up right here. Let me get some pictures of this shit. And this is back before cell phone cameras. My dad busts out like one of those $9 disposable cameras where you have like advanced. It was like, snap, snap. He's like taking pictures of it. He's like, look how big that cut is. He's like, son, I've never cut that big on a person before. And I've been in the military. God. So my dad's fucking taking photos of it in the emergency room.
Oh my God.
So the doctor finally gets all the paper towel out, and he cleans it with like a wash of like water and what's that fizzy bubbly stuff? Comes in a brown jug.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Thanks. So he's like squirting it on my hand with a syringe without the needle on it, just like a big plastic tube. Cleans it up. It's bubbling all the shit. And he's like, now we can numb it. So he puts like a bunch of pins in my hand, like of numbing stuff. Numbs it up just like when you go to the dentist and you get that shit in your gums.
Yeah.
Hands feeling great. Sews it all up. Afterwards, like, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better. So everything's all sewed up, looking really, really great. I get back home, go to bed, wake up, and my hand is the size of a fucking football. I can't even bend my hands, nothing. Like the stitches are straining to keep my hand together. Wow. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, what do I do? Dad's like, keep it above your body. I'm like, so what? When I go to school, it's like, keep it above your heart. So I'm walking around in school the next day with my hand up all the time. Teacher's like, you got a question? I'm like, no, I just have to keep my hand elevated. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I got my hand caught in the lawnmower. And the worst part was, you know, one of my best friends in the entire world, Midas, who's been on this channel, we were supposed to go to King's Dominion that weekend. Dad's like, you can still go, but I don't want you playing any of them grab-ass games. You can't go on any roller coasters. He's like, I don't want your stitches busting open because that's not another doctor visit I want to pay for. I'm like, well, fuck, what am I going to do? So when we go to King's Dominion that weekend, I'm that guy that's stuck holding everyone's shit. Like, I'm at the bottom of the roller coaster. I'm holding back, you know, teddy bears that people won from those grab people's drinks and stuff. I'm just like, all right, yeah, I'll just stand right here and watch you guys have a good time. Like, it was like the worst experience ever, all because I got my hand caught in the lawnmower.
Damn, and dude.
I didn't even get out of mowing the grass the following week. I still had to mow the grass with my fucking hands.
Wow. Wow. Your dad sounds like a hard ass, man.
Yeah. Oh, he is. I love him to death. He's a great guy. He's a stand up guy.
Yeah.
Always taking care of me and his family, but he does not let anyone slip into what you would think would be a wussy category. It, you know,
he sounds like a man of yesteryear. You know what I mean? They're a dying breed, man. You know, they're a dying breed. Okay. That, my dad is one of those guys also, you know.
Did you have any kind of did it mess your hand up? I mean, did you have any nerve damage or anything like that, or did it just cut you to the skin and just peel it back?
Just peeled everything back. I have some numbness in these three fingers, which hasn't affected me any. I have almost a full range of motion. I can't shut my hand all the way on these three fingers, but because of the slight numbness, I can do crazy stuff like pull shit out of the oven without oven mitts, which my wife thinks is
incredibly sexy.
So like when we're cooking and stuff, like I'll pull stuff out of the oven. She's like, hey, can you, like Thanksgiving, we're at my sister-in-law's house. She's like, oh, I think the bird's ready to come out. So I just reach in and pull that shit out with no oven mitt, nothing. You know, a 25-pound bird. She's like, oh my God, how are you pulling that shit out of the oven? I was like, that's none of your concern. My dad didn't raise no wussies.
That's great.
Pulling that shit out. So like I have some, I have a slight numbness in my hands that I can do some crazy shit like that.
Wow, man. That's crazy, dude. Until you smell the skin burning, I guess you're good, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. What?
Great stuff, dude. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I have a ton more stories. I probably have another, I don't know, good 30 or 40 stories outside of, you know, the two or three that I shared tonight.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Well, I don't think I'll ever hear another deer story like that.
Dude, I've heard similar, but I've never heard that. I've never heard the term shit hickeys, which is that's a classic. That's so a good one.
So good.
And yeah,
I mean, he got just the full Monty when it came to wrong place, wrong time, everything about that.
That is just this. Oh man, just terrible. And then getting later also attacked by another deer.
Yeah, right. That's incredible.
You would think, you know, you'd learn your lesson once, but you know, I guess maybe he was trying to be kind-hearted in retaliation.
It never works out that way.
And I'll tell you what, it was gruesome, but I did love the story about his dad taking him to the hospital.
Man, dude, that it still gives me the willies when I think about that. It's just I mean, I've had some pretty gnarly stuff happen, and you know, have seen my dad cut his finger off and all that. But
I was gonna say that reminded me similar of that tale, which will be told at another time.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So good, man. So good. But hey, listen. So we got some time left, though.
Right? Yeah.
We got a little time.
Well, you know, Jimmy's a great storyteller, and he actually told us another longer story, but we're saving that for later, because if you thought that the first episode was a lot of poo talk, then you definitely want to skip on the other story. But we're going to reserve that for a later time. Maybe it's a special prize-winning episode or a secret episode or something. We've got, you know, but we're going to save that. And it's a great one, too. And it's also just horrible, but it's hilarious. Because we do have that extra time in lieu of Jimmy's middle chunk story. We had a couple weeks ago when Jeff Hubbard, our resident Bigfoot expert and voice of the listener, was here. We recorded some bonus material for just such an occasion. So, yeah, so we'll go ahead and we'll play that. Well, guys, you know, I've got a couple of stories that I forgot about. I made a note in my phone, in my notepad app, to remind me to about, you know, sharing these stories. And guess what? Completely forgot until I was going through and checking on some other things. So I remembered them now, and I can I'm here to share them. So somebody going to ask me?
Yeah. What's your weird story?
I'm glad you asked. So the first one is a few years back, probably around 2004. I'm going to say it was around 2004.
Okay.
And I was with a band, and we were playing a show in Wilmington, North Carolina, at the this place called the Soapbox. And really cool venue. And anyway, we set up, we done our sound test, and we were waiting. We had a few hours, you know, to before the show. So Sam, the lead singer, and I, we went down the street and to get a slice of pizza. And so I'm standing there waiting to order, and next to Sam, and we're just chit chatting, whatever. And I look behind me, or behind the counter, right? There's like this, on both sides of the walls, there's mirrors, right? And I look, and I see this person that just walked in the door. And I'm like, what the? And I turn to Sam. I was like, dude, that looks like a girl I went to high school with. And so Sam's like, whoa, really? I'm like, yeah, dude, but it's not like you who just graduated 2 years ago and lived, you know, an hour away from here. I graduated however many years ago in Oklahoma, you know, so that's even more random, right? You know? Right. So I'm like, okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm sitting there and I wait. It's like a couple of minutes and I was like, this is just weird. This is really weird. And somebody comes up from behind me and I can see the motion and the taps me on the shoulder and turns around and it's this girl. She says, are you? And I said, Lisa Graham. And I pointed right at her, and it was Lisa Graham.
I'm
serious, dude, who's a year younger than us. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. She was like, you're Adam Beebe. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh. It was just so bizarre. So bizarre, dude. So bizarre. And so she was she was there. I think she was in town. She may have lived near there. I don't know. With her then husband, I think. And I don't know. She was there, and I told her, you know, I was like, hey, I'm in this band, and we're playing, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I got plans. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But, yeah, it was just crazy because small world, man.
Yeah.
Small world.
That is really weird.
Yeah. Both realized at the same time, like, that person is from Kingfisher.
That's crazy, person man.
I've known forever.
I never heard that story. That's great, man.
I forgot about it, dude. Yeah. I forgot about it. And that's just another example of what is a weird story that – you forget about that. It's just it's a tiny little one. It's not a big long episode, but still,
hey, considering that the town is of 5,000 people at max, and the high school was, what, 400-ish students, freshmen through seniors?
All together, yeah.
Yeah, so like...
And you know, teachers. Right. Freshmen through seniors and teachers, right, and custodial staff.
That's crazy, you know? Dude. I don't know.
I think we're closer to 3,000, dude.
That's crazy. Did I ever tell you that story when I ran into a guy that I went to school with in Orlando, and I ran into him in South America? Did I ever tell you that story? I did, didn't I?
I think he told me.
Okay, so
I don't think I've heard that story.
Okay. Let's recap.
Yeah, so I went to school in Florida, and this is 1994 through 95. And there was a guy in my class, and the classes were pretty small. I think we started out with 80, and then by the time school got done, there was only about maybe 25 or 30 of us left. The attrition rate was pretty serious. And so 95, boom, graduate, everybody goes their own way. It was an art school / technical school. It was for music production. So he was from South America, and so I just assumed that after school, you know, maybe he went back down there or whatever. So fast forward about 5 years, and I'm on tour, and I go to, and I knew that he was from Argentina. And so the first thing that pops into my mind is my friend Joe that I knew that I went to school with. It was the only person that I ever knew that was from Argentina. And so we go down there, and we show up at the venue, and we're loading stuff in, and I shit you not, he's there. My friend Joe is there. And I walk up to him, and I'm like, Joe, what's up? And he goes... He's like, oh my God. He goes, I'm getting ready to leave because he was driving a truck from Argentina up to Brazil. Like, it was like going to be a long haul. And he's like, I'm like 5 minutes away from leaving. And like, the fact that you showed up before I left is incredible, you know, but like, it's just bizarre. I mean, what are the chances that you run into somebody, you know, like that far away that, you know, it's just. It's crazy, man. So
that is weird.
That's another
that is strange
sort of
story. Well, I'll tell you another kind of coincidental story like that is every time, and I think I may have mentioned this as well in the past, but every time that whenever my band Art Lord and the Self Portraits played in New York City, every single time we ran into somebody that we knew from Greenville, the town where we were based out of, but like randomly, like not on purpose, randomly. Like one time we ran into another band, Valiant Thor, and we saw Benny, one of the guitarists, and then we saw the rest of the band later. Another time we ran into my friend Michael, and then the third time we were playing a show, and it was like the last show of a tour, and we were just, you know, we didn't know, we had no place to stay. We didn't have anything like that. We were just kind of like winging it, you know, seeing what happens. And I'm at the bar, and somebody comes up behind me and taps on my, shoulder again. And I turn around, and it's this girl, and she's like, Adam Beebe? And I'm like, Alex? And she's a girl that I knew from Greenville, and she had moved to New York City, and she lived like two blocks from this place, and she never went to this bar, but she just happened to be there that night.
Wow.
And was able to let, you know, we had a place to stay because she let these group of about, see, it was us and another band called Spader. So that is, there's seven. And then we had 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 4 more friends that had drove up to see that show because we're both playing there. So there's like 11 or 12 dudes crashing on her floor in her tiny one bedroom, one living room and bedroom only apartment. So where her boyfriend was sleeping at home when she comes back from being out at the bar with 11 with all dudes. These dudes.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Well, and I mean, that is a real needle in the haystack. You know, we talk about New York and running into somebody there. Cause there's so many people, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. That's incredible.
cool. All right. Well, so the second story is really bizarre. It's just kind of it's not supernatural, but it was just a very weird thing. So a couple of years ago, when I was in grad school, it was a Friday night, and there was a pop-up art show at some place that was like I think it was a brewery or some a microbrewery was like had just secured this building, but they haven't had anything to move into yet, you know. So basically, they had this building and they had a pop-up art show with a couple of my friends who knew them or whatever. And so I went down to this show with another couple of my friends from grad school, and we park about a block away, and we're walking down, and we turn the corner, and the road is blocked off, and there's just hundreds of, and I mean hundreds of people, all dressed in complete white, and they've got tables, three rows of tables, in the middle of the street going down five or six blocks.
Okay.
And this is like, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Man. It's really weird because
I was going to say you're in the South, right? And you see,
you're not in the South. This is Ohio. This is Ohio.
Okay. Sorry.
But so first of all, I'm thinking, my mind went exactly where yours went.
Right, it's right.
Like, perhaps this is some kind of Klan rally.
Right.
It was a mixed group of, it was everybody. It was, you know, it was black, white, Latino, all, okay. You know, everybody was there. So it wasn't a Klan rally, and everybody was having fun and everything. I thought, well, maybe it's some kind of wedding, but then I'm like, no, it's not a wedding because only a bride's supposed to wear white at a wedding.
Yes,
but true. So it's all these people that are just decked out all in white, and they've all got all this like fancy food, and they're all like drinking and having a great time, and we're just walking by them, really sticking out because we're artists, so we're mostly wearing all black, and you know, so it's just really weird. Really weird scene, man. And it's like, it's got this weird kind of like David Lynch movie kind of thing. So we walk in, and we walk, you know, we get past all the white people, the people in white, I should say. And we go to the gallery, we're looking around, we're like trying to ask, you know, we're asking what this deal is. And it's like, nobody there knew, you know, nobody inside knew. We're like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
And like, there's music playing, and everybody outside is having a great time. And we're just a little weirded out, but everybody seems to be really friendly and happy and cool. So we go outside, and we just walk around the whole thing. And like I said, this thing goes down blocks, and there's hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, or who knows. And some lady in a white prom dress yelled at me. She's like, "I like your style." I'm like, "Thanks. I like your dress," because I had nothing else to go with, you know. But anyway, we finally saw somebody, and we stopped them, and we're like, what the hell is this? And so apparently, and I forgot the name, but it's a French name. So apparently this is a long old tradition that is, it's kind of like it's a mystery party, right? Okay. It's invite only.
Okay.
So you can only be invited. We couldn't have just sat down or showed up all in white and, you know, party and everything.
Right.
It's invite only. You have to wear all white.
Okay.
Everybody has to wear all white. So if you're wearing a suit, it's got to be all white suit, all white dress, all white, whatever. And it is a mobile party, so it's not at the same place every year.
Oh, wow.
But apparently it's this tradition that goes back to France, like 100, 200 or so years. And I forget the name of it. So if anybody out there is listening and knows what I'm talking about, write in and tell me what it is, because I tried to Google all white party, and that was a bad idea. So
you might stumble onto some other
party. That's not any kind of party I want to be joining. So
right,
you know,
right.
One way or the other, because there's a couple of but anyway, Actually, there's a white party that is now, it seems like a similar kind of thing, but it's part of the LGBTQ community, and they do that, but it's not the same thing that I'm talking about, the one that I went in by that had a French name or whatever. And then, of course, there's the other problematic all-white party things that you could find on Google. But, yeah, it was just so bizarre. Wow. Because, you know, it was just weird, man. It was really weird.
Anytime you can leave a group of art students dumbfounded with the amount of weirdness that's going on, that just goes to show you there must have been some that must have been quite a scene, man. That's funny.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, it's a yearly event, but you have to be invited and you have to know people to get the invite, and I don't know, there's order to it, but it's just so so it's almost like a secret society, right, of
it's like an Illuminati type thing, or
I mean it's definitely but I don't know.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience, we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story. There you go. Jimmy, we want to thank Jimmy for coming on and sharing those hilarious episodes, and we apologize to our mothers for the horrible language throughout. But those are funny, and you know, this is a grown-ups podcast, so we're okay with it.
Hey, and thank you for sharing your stories. Also, you had written that down, I think, right? And you sort of forgot about it for a little while.
Yeah. All of the stories from today's episode are, none of them are necessarily supernatural, but they are outside of the normal, and they are a little bit weird. Or they're at least, you know, great stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just... You know, bottom line is, yes, we love the weird stories. That's the meat of our soup here. But if you got just a really great story, and it's funny or it's epic or anything like that, you know, we want to hear it. You know, we'll use it some way. You know, we'll put it out there to share with the world in some fashion. We'll fit it into a frame. Just get a hold of us and we'll set up a time, we'll record and we'll talk and we'll share stories, and you know, it'll be a blast.
Absolutely. It's as easy as that, really, when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And you know, again, it's fun and we just have a good time with it, and all we're looking for is for people that are excited to tell their story.
Yeah, so tell your friends, tell your parents. Wait, maybe if they're not too sensitive, don't tell your kids because they're not old enough yet. But, you know, tell your siblings' kids because you can corrupt them, and that's okay. Don't tell them we told you to do that, but it's okay. Tell everybody. Help spread the word. That's the best way that we can grow. You know, we're looking to keep growing, and we've got a great core group of people that listen to us every week. And we want to hear back from you guys on our social media, on the hotline, you know, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. We want to hear from you guys. We would love for you guys to go and rate us and review us on iTunes and wherever you listen to your podcast. You know, give us a shout out. Just help spread the word and help us grow. And because, you know, the more we grow, the bigger the community is, the bigger Weirdsville is, the more stories that we'll have to share, the more stories will get knocked out of your memory and you write them down. But don't do like I did. Don't forget about them. Write them down and then email us, call us, contact us. Send us a psychic mind wave. That might actually be very good because I'm not very perceptive, as we've seen illustrated on this. I'm not very perceptive to psychic mind waves, ghosts, or the advances of women. But you know,
just knock us upside the head with the real, yeah. with the real message.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need. So yeah, so thanks for listening once again, and thanks for being part of this experience. Thanks for being part of the community and being part of Weirdsville. And next week, Barry, we have as our guest another old friend from our hometown, Amy. And Amy's got some cool spooky ghost stories.
Yeah.
And, that's a good episode. Yeah. We're very excited. So tune in next week. Same weird time, same weird channel, podcast provider, platform, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.